Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Junks. We're live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, visit cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today.
EB, you know why Jason likes fall the most? Because it's that sweet spot where
gambling.
He doesn't have to turn on the air conditioning and he doesn't have to turn on the heater. Because you know he's notorious for when it's too hot, he barely turns on his air conditioning unit. And when it's cold, he resists.
Well, let me ask you a question. All right, and be honest. You came to my house about, let's call it a month ago, and it was a very hot day. And you came in and you picked some things up. Did you notice the house warm?
No, I did not.
Was it comfortable?
It was comfortable.
It was at 75 degrees, my AC.
Okay.
Just telling you, I don't have to put it down to 70 to make it cool. I can put it, it just cranks. It's a good system. 75, and my house is comfortable at 75.
I usually have mine downstairs. I have my downstairs. Actually, it's on a range, so it works automatically. So my range is 66 to 76.
Oh, my gosh.
But 66, it usually hovers in between.
66, I would have to wear a scarf in my house.
66 is when the heater would turn on. So if the thermostat hits 66, then the heater fires.
No, mine's at 75. Sometimes I'll put it down to 73 if it's really, really hot. But usually it's very comfy, Bickle.
Right. But I also like onto something.
I like opening up my French doors off the kitchen, just letting the cool air come in, the comfortable air.
So, I do that too, even though I'm air conditioning the deck.
Yeah, I like to do that.
I have my windows right. Open. I like fresh air. Like even yesterday it was raining and my wife was getting pissed. I got to have fresh air. Just couldn't go outside.
But yes, I do like the fall the best, no doubt.
All right, time to hit the skins. What do you got, Valdez?
By the way, you're acting like you couldn't go outside. I went outside. You live like 10 miles away from me. I went outside for like an hour or two.
Yeah, well, I remember I took a three-hour nap. And then when I got up, it started.
So you ran out of time.
Well, I was going to go for my bike ride, which is what I typically do.
At what time?
Around 4 o'clock. It started raining.
Yeah,
I told you it was going to rain.
It was a light drizzle.
It was a light drizzle, but I didn't know it was coming.
It was intermittent.
I could have, but
because I went for a run. Probably around that time, 4 or 5 o'clock, and I was worried. I actually did double hoodie because I thought, oh, this is dicey. I might get poured on, and I'll be 3 miles away from my house, and I'll be screwed. And it was just intermittent, barely got rained on.
Raining sometimes zaps a little of my zeal.
That's more what it was.
Well, yeah.
Plus, when you take a huge nap, it's hard to kind of get going again.
I still exercised. I still did, but I wanted to get outside. I don't like just being in the effing house.
Well, I'm just saying,
all day.
Outside wasn't closed. You could have gone outside.
It kind of was closed. Post nap, it was kind of closed. Pre nap, it was open. Post nap, closed. All right, guys. I want to talk about Scott Turner. He had some interesting.
I've
quotes.
Been in the house most of the time.
Yeah, that's how I feel, buddy.
Thank you, Larry.
Yes.
Scott Turner had some interesting quotes in the last 24, 48 hours, and I know Valdez and I both thought immediately of Jason. He's talking about Taylor Heinicke here, and Taylor has played really, really well.
Jason can't wait for Taylor to have a terrible game.
I know. Well, I mean, believe me, I know.
Every single day. It's not every single week. It's every single day. If Heinicke comes up, my name comes up.
Yeah.
Well,
are people
texting you?
The anti-Heinicke.
Are people texting you on the Thompson Creek Windows text machine? standard message Dave Charles
I haven't checked it today.
About Heine.
I haven't checked
he
it today.
He kind of embodies the anti-Heineke hive.
So not he's not really a believer.
Yeah, he's not a believer. Well, I mean, and the reason is...
Look, if he has a bad game in Buffalo, I'm not going to come in and say... The last thing I'm going to come in and say is, I told you so.
Okay.
What I'm going to say is, you know, this is how hard the position is to play. And when backups play it, sometimes they look like backups.
So does Aaron Rodgers.
That's kind like of an
I understand
so.
That.
Right. Of course, no one expects to play great all the time. He's going to have bad games. But the point is, and Scott Turner speaks to this specifically. Play some of this, the quotes.
Hey Scott, going back to some of your history with Taylor, what was the deficiency or like perceived deficiency he had that like you know kept him from being a drafted player, kept him from really sticking on a roster for a few years, and what has he done to reduce or eliminate you know whatever people thought he couldn't do?
Well, that's it's a pretty complicated question. It's not the way you asked it, but just the answer that he's from a small school. Okay, he was not recruited out of high school. He started as a you know an FCS school that became a you know FBS or whatever. Was not invited to the combine, and he's little. You know, so all of those factors kind of led to him you know flying under the radar. Now he's a very good athlete. You know, we signed him in Minnesota as an undrafted free agent, and he made our 53-man roster because of the way he performed in the preseason. As far as the sticking on the roster goes, you know, he's had some untimely injuries, and I think that's set him back his time. And then also, you know, people, for whatever reason, they fall back to their original evaluation on people. So he's always going to be seen as an undrafted guy until he – you know, continues to do the things he's been doing, but he's got to do it over time. As soon as, like, a guy like that, he can have five great games, and if he has one bad game, it's like, oh, well, here's the undrafted guy that everybody knows. And that's – I'm not saying it's fair or not fair, but perception's reality, and that's just how things work. So, you know, when you have somebody like that, you know, they got to do above and beyond to get an opportunity. Fortunately for us and for Taylor, he was able to get that opportunity, and he's really – played the way that he's played in the preseason. If you look back on the tape, and you know he's earned the confidence of this team and you know everybody around him.
So there you go. He could have five great games, and if he has one bad game, it's like, oh well, here's the undrafted guy. This is why, right? This is why he went undrafted.
Turner's seen him the most, right?
Yeah.
So I'm all the way back in Minnesota, then Carolina.
He's his biggest supporter.
Yeah, he knows.
No doubt.
He believes in his play.
No doubt.
The untimely injuries, and that going back to what we were talking about earlier, Valdez, that's why people say that about Heineke, because he has a history of those injuries.
Yeah.
Sure, all quarterbacks get hurt. He has just been snake bitten and hurt more frequently.
I've never been particularly worried about the injury stuff, but when I talked to Brian Mitchell last week, Brian kind of convinced me. You know, I respect Brian a lot, what he did in the league and, you know, sort of his knowledge and stuff like that. He just thinks a body type like Taylor just is not going to be able to hold up.
Right.
Maybe he's right.
And it's not like he has a body of work of 80 or 90 starts and he's missed 5 to 7 of them. He had a small body of work and he was basically going out of games or suffering injuries in every game up until the start against the Giants.
Right.
I just keep going back to this. I'm judging him on what I'm seeing in a Washington football team uniform, and he's playing better than most of the quarterbacks they've had in the last 25 years.
Oh, yeah. He's playing at a very, very high level.
I mean, really,
right now.
If you think about it, we've had so many duds. I guess during the Kirk years, you had a competent quarterback. Kind of controversial. Some people bought into Kirk. Some people didn't. I was hesitant to buy in. But he was good. Maybe not great. Heineken's been very good.
Heineke.
You called him Heineke.
You called him Heineke.
Sorry. Yeah, you're falling into that trap.
Here's what I wanted to ask. If they had a draft, see, if he, now that you've seen this tape on him, if you had a draft right now, he's definitely getting drafted.
Sure.
He's going to probably be like, I'd say at a minimum, a second round pick. At a minimum, like where Boomer was picked or something. If he had this kind of film against this kind of competition, he's going to get selected way higher. They missed on him. The league missed on him. And I mean, I think they missed on him for a reason.
There's still time for him to tank.
Sure.
Like, that could happen. He could have a string of...
So do first-round picks.
Interception games.
Right.
You know, but it's amazing to me, and it's that Turner and Rivera who had seen him along the way. And Rivera's now acknowledged that he kind of is better in games than the practice.
Right.
That there really wasn't a competition because Heineke's good.
Yeah.
He's good.
Well, it's kind of hypocritical for Turner and Rivera to say all these things now, because when he was in Carolina in 2018, okay, he made that team. The next year, Cam Newton gets hurt and Kyle Allen starts for most of the year. Mm-hmm. Well, Heineke wasn't on the roster, mm-hmm. so they cut him. Mm-hmm. And then where did he go? He went to the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Right.
All right, so it's hypocritical for them to say, yeah, you know what? We always knew he could play at this level. Well, you didn't have him on the team for the last 4 years.
Well, we do point out the injuries.
I understand that, but he got cut.
Yeah,
it wasn't because of injury.
They were believers, though. Sometimes they cut guys that they believe in, you know,
numbers. Right, whatever. Is he playing better than he was in 2018? Obviously.
I think they look at him as an expendable piece. Like, if we have him, great, as kind of like a backup in case we need him to start.
Well, remember, teams were only keeping two for the longest time.
Yeah.
Okay, you know? But he wasn't even on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Not that year, anyway.
Yeah, well.
And he wasn't that hurt. He went and played in the XFL.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that the perception of Heineke because of his past and because of his limited ability physically, that's why people feel that way. He could prove everyone wrong, including myself,
sure.
and go out there and lead the team to 10-7, go to the playoffs, and then obviously I'll say, I was wrong about the guy. You should probably give him a bigger contract.
Well, I think it's pretty simple.
Until it happens, we just kind of have to wait and see.
Scott talks about it. It happens all the time with kids. It happens when kids were like recruited from high school to college. He was like an under-recruited guy. When you're smaller, people just overlook you. It's that simple.
Right, from that's true. Stature, between the cracks.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
He's a smaller kid. It just has big time ability.
Size has a lot to do with it.
All the time.
Look, if Trace McSorley was 6'4", he wouldn't have been a 6th round draft pick.
Right.
He would have been a 2nd round draft pick.
Exactly.
I get it. But he can't grow.
No, he can't. But if you give those smaller guys an opportunity, often they can shine. You know?
Sometimes they can.
I've seen it a million times. So. It is what it is. I just find it interesting. I agree with Scott Turner a lot that any time Heineke struggles, people are going to jump on that.
Right.
Oh, it's because, you know, look, this is the true him. He's an undrafted guy. So he's got to really fight to get over that perception.
You know, the irony would be if they don't have a great season offensively, mm-hmm. and people will start pointing towards Scott Turner and Ron Rivera, they'll go, well, we haven't had a quarterback.
Right.
Because Ron does talk about, like, he's had, even if he says these things about Heineke, he has said little things about having the franchise quarterback.
Well, yeah, they don't know that they have one yet. I mean, this kid's got to play a full season.
This is a big-time audition for him.
Yeah, he's got to play
a big-time audition.
Yep. He's got to play a full season.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Coming up a bit later at 8, Dave Richard, he'll answer all of your Week 3 fantasy football questions. We know that you have them. But next, Sal Capaccio covers the Bills. He's going to join us to talk about WFT's next opponent here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Junks. Coming up in just about 35 minutes or so, Dave Richard, he'll give you all the fantasy football advice that you need heading into week three, which starts tonight as Carolina travels to take on Houston for Thursday night football. But right now we're joined on the BetQL guest hotline by Sal Capaccio. He's beat and sideline reporter for the Buffalo Bills. He's a host on WGR 550 in Buffalo. Follow him on Twitter at Sal Sports. What's up, Sal? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, anytime. First of all, love the Cure bump. Okay, back from the break. Second of all, you guys got a lot of Buffalonian like transplants down there, because I tweeted out I was on with you, and I already got like messages. Hey, man, can't wait to hear you down where I'm living in D.C.
Ah, so very good. Cool. Some nice. Bills Mafia here in the D.C.
Yeah,
area.
No doubt.
Nice.
Well, Sal, I said earlier in the show, anybody named Sal Capaccio is from New York.
Yeah, what is your origin story? Right. Are we correct, or are we dialed in on that?
So my dad actually came from the old country. He came from near Naples, Italy.
Nice.
Came back. Actually, my dad, real quick, came over on a famous ship called the Andrea Doria, which actually wound up the voyage after that. It wound up hitting the USS Stockholm, and it sank, and a lot of Italian immigrants died. Luckily, he was on the voyage before that, and it's located off the coast of Nantucket. They settled in Buffalo, actually, and that's where I grew up. I've been a Buffalonian. I grew up during the Super Bowl years. I would take a Greyhound bus back from Syracuse University, going to the games. And then I moved down to Florida, and I always joke, guys, I'm the only man in America who chose to leave Florida to come back to Buffalo, New York, and I did that back in 2011.
So you're the guy.
I'm the guy. That's right.
Sal, give us the big picture look on the Bills through two games. So they lose the opener at home 23-16, a nip-and-tuck affair with the Steelers, and then they blow the doors off a division rival in Miami. They knock Tua out of that game early, so they sit at 1-1 heading into this matchup with Washington football team coming in. What are some of your big takeaways with the Bills through 2 weeks?
It's been kind of a reverse script from last year, to be honest. Last year, the offense just started off out of the gate on fire. Josh Allen immediately 300 yards, 400 yards, MVP status he started rising to. He was in that conversation all year. And the defense took some time to come along. They didn't have their time on task like all teams with OTAs and mini camps. And this defense really needs it, because it's really about a team defense. This year, it has been completely the opposite. The defense has really been kind of carrying them through 2 weeks. And even though they lost week one, they played really well against Pittsburgh. But the offense and Josh Allen just hasn't quite found their way yet. Now, I kind of sound like a crazy person saying that when they score 35 points. But you think about the bar that this offense set last year and the Josh Allen set. And he hasn't been bad, but he's been a little bit off, I'd say. You know, his completion percentage is down. They're not really throwing the ball at quite the efficiency and the rate that they were last year. But here's the good thing. Like, with the way this defense is playing, you can get a little more margin for error with Josh Allen in the offense. That first game against Pittsburgh, the Steelers did a really good job against them. And, you know, people came away a little bit panicky. But then they go to Miami, obviously, and, you know, they got right, so to speak. So I think it's just been a really, really great defense through 2 weeks, and an offense that's kind of trying to find their way against what defenses are countering against them now. Yeah.
Sal, you tweeted this. I was really stunned to see that they're 26th in passing yards per game. And we know that Brian Daboll always wants to have his foot on the gas as far as throwing the ball. They don't really care that much about running the ball in Buffalo, even though they've got some decent pieces in that backfield with Moss and Singletary. Those guys have performed well. I know Moss was banged up, but he came back last week. So it looks like the running game is able to complement the passing game, but they major in passing the ball. And I would think they're going to try to do some more of that against Washington football team, who's frankly struggled through the first 2 weeks at stopping some opposing wideouts.
Really? Yeah. And it comes down to if Washington can get home with their front four, because really that's what Pittsburgh did. Pittsburgh got home with their front four, and then they kind of blanketed coverage against the Bills, and the Bills struggled against that. And I think that was kind of the book as it went on last year, as the season went on last year. The Bills were just torching man-to-man defenses. They were torching blitzes. And defensive coordinators said, you know what, we can't let that happen. We're going to have to kind of make them work. They can't, you know, get chunk plays. They can't let Josh Allen just make the big play. And Bills had to work a little bit. And then the offense kind of slowed down. And I think that's what's happened through the first 2 weeks, especially week one with Pittsburgh. But look, they're not going to face T.J. Watt and Cameron Hayward and Melvin Ingram every week. But here come Washington with this really nice front. And obviously, Chase Young and Montez Sweat. And I look at Washington and think, Okay, but they blitzed a lot. I've looked at the numbers. They blitzed a lot. If they can't get home with four and they blitz, the Bills will have a really good chance to light them up through the air. But if they can get home with those guys, they'll have a chance to slow down this offense. That's really going to be the key, I think, in this game.
Talking to Sal Capaccio, beat sideline reporter for the Bills, host on WGR 550 in Buffalo. I don't know if you watched the film of the Giants game, but Daniel Jones had tremendous success with the read option. Josh Allen's a guy who can run the ball very well, bigger guy than Daniel Jones. Do you see them implementing a lot of that in this game?
Yeah, it's funny. So a week ago on Thursday, I actually tweeted something along the lines of Brian Daboll's taking notes about Daniel Jones running against Washington right now, mm-hmm. because I noticed that too. And look, I mean, Josh Allen is a tremendous runner. We know that. He's a better athlete than Daniel Jones. He's a better runner than Daniel Jones. But Daniel Jones is sneaky good. He's sneaky athletic, I guess you'd say, because I think people don't view him necessarily in that light. Yeah, I think the Bills will try to do that. There'll probably be a handful of designed runs. But you have to wonder, will Washington prepare for Josh Allen differently than they prepared for Daniel Jones? I can't imagine they went into that game preparing for Daniel Jones to run the ball, and maybe that's why there was an opportunity for that to happen. But I would definitely think that, you know, the Bills will have some designed runs for Allen. Look, the Bills have kind of gone a little away from that since the start of last year. They're not putting Josh Allen, I guess, in harm's way, you'd say, so to speak. They're not really having these designed runs, but they do it. Where he's really the biggest threat is near the goal line. My colleague on the radio broadcast last year, Steve Tasker, was our color analyst because Eric Wood couldn't travel with COVID. And Steve used to say all the time, and he's right, he'd say, Josh Allen is the best goal line back in the league. Mm-hmm. Not running back, but back. And he is, because it's almost impossible to stop him when he has an escort within a five-yard area.
Right. Hey, can you talk about Diggs and what he's meant to this offense that the Bills have acquired him, and the relationship that he's got between he and Josh Allen? Seems to be really special.
It is, and when they traded for him, remember, it was during a pandemic. There was no offseason, really, no OTAs, minicamp. The Bills, like a lot of teams, they got together down in Florida. They started to kind of build that bond and the relationship. And the famous story here basically goes that they played Call of Duty together online. Wow. And they would talk while they were playing about football. They'd talk about life. They'd get to know each other, right? I mean, here we are with 2021, right? 2020. Now think about that when we were growing up, and you know how all that kind of comes together so much differently now. And they said once they kind of got together, they knew a lot about each other. But really, I thought it was pretty great how they were able to seamlessly get on the field together and really see the field. That's really what it is. They see the field so well together. They see a lot of the same things. And give Brian Daboll and Ken Dorsey and everybody over there a lot of credit. The Bills have a very good coaching staff, but it is a special relationship. Look, the Bills gave up a first-round pick for Stephon Diggs. You don't do that unless you're going to have a – you better not do it unless you're going to have a plan to use him. And did they use him last year? He led the league in receptions. He led the league in yards. And so far, already off to a good start. Not quite the top of the league, but he's still getting a lot of balls thrown his way.
Sal, I felt bad for the Miami corner. I can't recall who it was. But, I mean, you can only cover Diggs for so long, especially when you're down in the red zone. And, you know, when he has 3 or 4 seconds to work his way through the defense and Josh Allen is, you know, scrambling out to the right and has time to find him, I mean, nobody in the league is going to be able to keep up with Diggs for that long. And, you know, yeah. Josh Allen found him. He was wide open.
Yeah, that's Xavier Howard, too, who's really good, right? See, that's who we beat. But here's, like, to go back to your question earlier about the passing offense and all that, this is why I say, like, I tell people in Buffalo, you know, don't panic at all about Josh Allen, because even though his completion percentage is down and we could pick out a throw here or a throw there that he's missed, which he has, he's still making plays that no one else can make. That was a play that no one else can make. Guys, I'm 20 feet from that, right? He's rolling right towards me. I'm down on the sidelines as the sideline reporter, and I'm thinking to myself, boy, he's in trouble. And he just stops on a dime and throws across his body and throws a bullet to Stephon Diggs. And that's the kind of play that other people just simply can't make. Other quarterbacks can't make. There might be 2 or 3 quarterbacks in the league that could do that. Maybe Mahomes, maybe Rodgers, but Allen is certainly one of them. But that also shows you that these receivers are taught. You have to just keep the play alive all the time, because Josh is so tough to bring down. You never know where he's going to throw it and how he's going to throw it to get it to you.
All right, so tell us what your perspective is. We've heard you talk about Chase Young and Montez and the front four and those guys, but offensively, what kind of challenges do Taylor Heinicke and the Washington offense present for you guys?
Look, I mean, I think Taylor Heinicke is a sneaky good quarterback in this league who can do some damage that people don't realize. And you look at the, well, you know, he's a backup, and he can't beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick, but I don't know. I mean, maybe he's never had a true shot to do that. We love Ryan Fitzpatrick here, by the way. I will tell you, mm-hmm. people were really looking forward to seeing Fitz in Buffalo this week. You know, we love him here. He loves Buffalo. And then next week, it's Tyrod Taylor And he's probably not going to play, right? So back-to-back weeks to two former QBs that probably aren't going to be able to play. But look, I would say this. If I'm doing an academic bowl, I'm probably picking the Washington quarterback room over any other quarterback room in the league, considering Fitzpatrick and Taylor Heinicke and how smart they are. And that's the thing I think that really allows Taylor Heinicke to be successful is he's super smart. You know, I really like watching. He makes good decisions. He's not a bad decision maker. He's more mobile than people think. I think he's a better passer than people think. I think the question is now that there is a little more film on him. The Bills have had a week to prepare. You know, they'll have a game plan. I think the Bills coaching staff on the defensive side is excellent. It's one of the best coaching staffs in the league when it comes to preparing, knowing your team's strengths and weaknesses. They'll have a plan. Now, Terry McLaurin, big fan of his. I know Curtis Samuel's out. That would really help. The Bills have been beaten by tight ends. Logan Thomas is over there. We know him well, obviously. He was in Buffalo. The transition to tight end while in Buffalo didn't work out. He's played superb. And Antonio Williams is obviously a really good player. By the way, lots of interest in Jared Patterson here. Went to the University of Buffalo, set a lot of records in the MAC conference. You know, we're really happy for his success. There's no doubt about that. I don't think this is the kind of offense that's necessarily going to, you know, put the Bills on edge, so to speak. But I do think it's the kind of offense that can really bite you when you don't expect it and make a play here or a play there, because they do have the kind of players that are pretty buttoned up and smart and know how to get things right in, you know, certain situations, goal line, whatever it is, third down, stuff like that.
Sal, you mentioned Terry McLaurin. Should be a great individual matchup between him and Tre'Davious White, a two-time All-Pro, two-time Pro Bowler. He's got 15 career picks. Now, you know, a lot of people, you know, they look at McLaurin going into individual matchups and are like, can he beat Bradbury? Well, he abused Bradbury last week for the Giants, who's highly thought of. What do you think that's going to look like between McLaurin and Tre'Davious White this weekend?
Yeah, I'm really interested. You know, Tre'Davious is an All-Pro. He was an All-Pro a couple of years ago, and he's off to a good start. You know, there's times he got beat a couple of plays. He got beat maybe a play last week against Pittsburgh. He got beat on the sidelines and won a great throw. It was Chase Claypool. He kind of went over the top and beat him there. Now, McLaurin's not the size that Claypool is, right? I think that would help Tre'Davious White in a matchup like this. I'm looking forward to it. I really like Terry McLaurin, and you know, I think he's got a great future. Obviously, he's off to a great start. Asking Sean McDermott about him yesterday, I asked him specifically what makes Terry McLaurin so tough, and he mentioned, you know, how smart and how technical he is. You know, he's just he's a professional, and I get that sense too. It's going to be a fun matchup for sure. But look, Tre'Davious White's a heck of a player. I think what separates though some of these defenses too is when you don't have Tre'Davious White right there, you still have Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer and everybody helping out. So it's not just the one on one, right? I mean, this is a very good back end of a Buffalo Bills defense.
Hey, real quick, could you tell us what your impressions were of Logan when Logan was there? And are you surprised by his success as he's moved to tight end?
How can you not be surprised? But you know what? Knowing the person, I'm not surprised. I just think it's such a hard transition for someone to do that and to do it at the level he's done with the success. By the way, we are super happy here as a group, I would say, people in Buffalo for Logan because he's a great person. He really is. And I'm really happy for him. And he got rewarded for it. There's no doubt. But no, not surprised by the person being able to do it. Just surprised that anybody could do something like that.
Right. Well, it's going to be a hell of a game. I know the line opened up at like 9.5 or 10 or something. I think it's dropped a little bit. So
yeah.
Most people are expecting Buffalo to have their way. But I think Washington's going to put up a pretty good fight here.
No, I agree with you guys. Like I said, Ron Rivera, we have a lot of respect for him in Buffalo. We know Sean McDermott does. There's so much respect between the two because they go back to Carolina. That's like a big storyline this week. Mm-hmm. You know, Sean has often referred to Ron Rivera as, you know, his mentor. Now, I will say, though, they kind of run, you know, a similar defense, the language and things like that. So I would think both of them would kind of get a little bit of a feel of what each other's going to do on defense. And, you know, the Bills will have that kind of preparation and the same thing for Washington. So I like that little bit of chicken and egg right there as well.
Sal, we really appreciate the time. Bills Mafia, they were treated to you here in D.C. We'll have to get you on again soon. Thanks, man.
All right, anytime, guys. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, bro.
Sal Capaccio, beaten sideline reporter for the Buffalo Bills. You can hear him on WGR 550 in Buffalo. He's at Sal Sports on your Twitter.
No real bulletin board material there, but they seem quietly confident.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I think they should. They just came off a 35-0 drubbing of the Dolphins, where their defense, I believe, sacked Tua and Brissett 6 times, got after the quarterback a lot. So Washington's going to have their hands full there trying to keep Taylor Heinicke upright throughout the game because they can bring the pressure. And they will against a young quarterback, I would think.
Maybe we'll shock the world, Cakes.
Could shock the
Maybe we'll shock the world.
I kind of like them getting 8.5 points.
Oh, definitely
like
that.
It.
Definitely like that.
Could be the kiss of death, though, but I like it. All right, when we come back, we will take you around the league, look at all the big matchups for the weekend with the Junkies Blitz and Dave Richard. Don't forget, coming up at 8 a.m.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's time now for the Junkies Blitz, presented by our friends at Offenbacher's. Visit Offenbacher's in Annapolis, Rockville, or Herndon for a huge selection of outdoor furniture that's in stock and ready for delivery to your backyard.
I guess we should start off with Thursday Night Football. You have the game tonight.
We do.
Carolina, who is 2-0, heads to Houston to take on a Texans team that won their opener. Of course, lost this past week, so they're 1-1. They have a new starter, Tyrod Taylor, hamstring injury, and in comes rookie, third-round draft choice Davis Mills. And his first action wasn't terrible. Threw for 102 yards with a touchdown. Did have an interception in the second half of a loss to the Browns.
He was one of those quarterbacks that I evaluated, right, Valdez? I feel like I did a quarterback commercial breakdown of Davis Mills. I think I did.
Yes, you did. I think so. Where's the book? It's in the back.
Cakes. Yeah, I don't know.
What's the score?
What my score was for Mills. But Mills was somewhat impressive. Where did he go? Like the fourth round?
Third round.
Yeah. Okay.
67th now, overall.
The Carolina Panthers, defensively, the stats look great. But part of it is, this is the second rookie quarterback that they will have faced in 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They faced Zach Wilson in their opening 19-14 win over the Jets. In that game, Zach Wilson had an interception, and they sacked him 6 times. Then they faced Jameis Winston, not a rookie quarterback, but he became Jameis Winston again.
Yeah, he went back
after a mirage of 5 touchdowns.
Bad
with no
Jameis
picks.
Showed up.
Yes.
In week 2.
Yeah.
this breakdown makes me laugh. First of all, you gave Davis Mills. It appears to be either a 75.7 or 73.7 score.
I liked him pretty good.
And then I go back to Zach Wilson, who is the starter now for the Jets. You don't have a score on him, but you said he's a bigger, stronger Manziel, and your quote was, I like him. For Zach Wilson.
For Zach Wilson, yeah. I'm a Zach Wilson guy.
Back to Carolina's defense. So they lead the NFL in total yards, 190. Yards passing, 143.5. Yards rushing, 46.5 points, 10.5 allowed, as well as the 10 and the 10 sacks. But again, facing rookie quarterbacks, so those numbers probably will continue to be really good because they face David Mills and the Houston Texans. So you wonder how good Carolina is. Let's see what happens when they end up facing Tampa.
Well, of course,
some of the better teams.
But look, they got to take advantage of these weaklings on the schedule.
Oh, I mean,
you got to beat these teams. They're a well-coached team. They've got more talent, you know, skill-wise, obviously, than Houston does. So you would think that they should win this game, but we'll see. Maybe Mills plays a lot better tonight in his first start than he did last week.
Let me pull up Carolina's schedule here. I think they're front-loaded with a lot of cupcakes in this schedule because, obviously, they play at Houston tonight. Okay, the next week four is tough. They're at Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get to go home against Philly and Minnesota weeks 5 and 6. Then they're at New York and at Atlanta in their first 2 months of play. A lot of winnable games there for Carolina.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's see. If Sam Darnold continues to play the way he is, not turn the ball over, then they got a shot.
I'm just assuming they're going to go to 3-0. Like, I just don't see a scenario where a rookie performs well on Thursday Night Football in a short week against a team that's pretty good offensively.
Now, they're going to try to run the football, the Texans. They ran for 160 yards in their opener. Now, they did have Tyrod Taylor running.
Right.
There last week, they just ran for 82 yards, but
I feel bad for Tyrod. That guy has just...
He can never stay healthy.
He's just so snake-bitten. He was actually off to a decent start, now out with a hammy injury for a month. Stinks.
Sticking with the quarterbacks, Justin Fields says, I think I'm ready. I've been preparing for this moment a long time. My mindset doesn't change. I'm still going to play football and prepare the best I can, study, and get more comfortable and more confident with the plays. He gets his first start against the Cleveland Browns.
Coming off a performance wasn't super impressive.
No.
Well, he threw a pick, but he also threw a dime to Allen Robinson. Dropped it in the end zone. He threw another good ball to Darnell Mooney, who booted it. So his receivers weren't helping him out. I like the upside. I like the rushing upside, obviously. He had 10 rushing attempts in that game where he filled in for Andy Dalton in less than a half of work.
All Kicks told me this morning before the show started was, I can't believe the idiot in my fantasy league who dumped Justin Fields to pick up Sam Darnold.
Well, I mean, why would you do that? Like, Justin Fields is about...
I don't know. I mean,
he's about to potentially take off and be like... He's a fantasy quarterback.
Is that a keeper league?
No, it's not a keeper league.
All right. Well, he obviously feels better about, you know, for the next 15 games or 15 games.
He wants to win right now.
About Sam Darnold.
He wants to win right now. He must have poop quarterback.
Did you pick him up?
I'm going to make a claim, but again, I'm ninth in
waiver.
Line. I'm ninth in line.
Someone else will probably get him, but I see what you're saying.
That's why I hate waivers, because if it weren't for
waivers, you would have snatched him immediately.
He would be on my team.
By the way, on the flip side, Baker Mayfield is 40 of 49 this year.
And he's missing Odell. He's missing Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, Landry's out.
He's throwing to backup tight ends.
But
like
he did
Harrison
throw a
Bryant.
Crucial pick at the end of week one, right?
He's fallen down.
It was a terrible decision because
it was first down.
But
they were moving the ball.
I am Team Baker.
He's 40 for 49 so far this year.
For sure.
Aaron Rodgers revealed the reason for his long hair. Did you guys see this?
I did not.
No.
Fish until Halloween.
Oh, he's a
and
Halloween
this hair
guy. My God.
Has been a year in the making for my costume.
You're kidding.
He said, I'm not going to give it away, but it's somebody who's a hero of mine who has longish hair.
Who's going to be Mick Jagger?
He's been thinking about Halloween for a year.
Yeah, that's my guy. I love Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe
now.
He's been doing like a John Lennon, Joe Yoko Ono bit. Like
maybe.
I don't know.
Years ago.
What a loser.
Who's going to be for Halloween? Now I'm really intrigued.
I'm so out on Aaron Rodgers.
I'm so in on Aaron Rodgers.
Who has a man bun in the back?
Who's one of his heroes? It's got to be like a rock star, right?
No, I bet it's a wacky Jeopardy. He wants to be Jeopardy host.
I don't know. That's a good question.
You know what he should have done is go to the spirit store and buy a wig.
Right.
All right. So right there is
my kid loves the spirit store.
He is a loser.
She's already decided she needs me and Dylan to be her props.
Okay.
She wants to be the police this year, and we have to be her prisoners.
Who's
so Isabella?
So you have a 4-year old. You have to buy like the
what, I don't like, know.
A striped inmate outfit.
That's where she gets that's fired where you're up. Your kid, no.
She loves Halloween.
Yeah.
Well, she loves that spirit store.
Clap it up for Isabella.
Bring it to my house. I'll learn her.
The spirit store. We've already been to the one on Rockville Pike a couple times because it hasn't opened up yet at Rio.
Right.
She's just counting down the days.
Sure.
She loves the animatronics. You go in there, you step on it.
I don't know what costume Aaron Rodgers is into. What are you thinking?
It's this probably is something what, wacky what like the Jonas Salk or something.
This is what's kind of, I'm kind of distraught.
Is he going as an NFC championship loser?
Right. What is he, 1-4, 1-3?
It's spooky season.
This is what sucks about this year in Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and you haven't even thought about this.
I have not.
It's a Sunday.
Oh, that does stink. Halloween on a Saturday is great.
And you use perfect.
It's the best.
Or a Friday. Like it was a couple years ago.
Amazing. Even a Thursday.
Maybe, but maybe they'll cancel it. That'd be great.
But Washington plays in Denver on Halloween. Mm-hmm. All right, that's going to be a 4:30 start. You're going to be bitter when people are coming up your door.
I'll
just
turn the lights out.
Interrupting the game when you're trying to watch.
I'll make it look like my house is empty. Yeah, I have no problem. Or I just leave the candy on the stoop.
Sure.
Which I've often done. Just grab it.
You know what? I'm anti-Halloween this year for that reason.
Yeah.
Usually I'm all in. I think it should be a national holiday.
Never anti-Halloween. Big surprise. There's a new Halloween movie coming out. I think it's October 15th.
Right. And Jamie Lee Curtis is in it again.
Of course she's in it. Halloween
She
kills.
Looks like she's 82.
Cakes.
But I'm just telling you, you're not going to be happy this year because I know you get to. You love Halloween.
I do,
you love going outside and hanging out with the kids and giving a candy. Well, you're going to be locked and loaded on 4 o'clock games that night.
Okay, but if it's a nice evening, I could really white trash it up and just run an extension cord on my driveway, lug a TV out there, get the fire pit going, and hand out candy to the kids. That sounds like a great evening.
All right.
That sounds like an amazing evening.
And have pumpkin beers.
Pumpkin beers. I can invite Richard Christie over, and we can have pumpkin beers together in the driveway.
That's funny to about 4 people.
Yeah. You know what? All I'm doing is microcasting over here. Okay?
I'm telling you, though, I think he's going to choose something. It's not going to be a rock star or an athlete.
Yeah, but who would be one of his heroes?
It's going to be a wacky. Hair?
This is who he's been in the past.
All right.
I have a bunch of images here. Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite.
Okay.
He's dressed up in the hack orange tuxedo from Dumb and Dumber.
I mean, he's like a movie guy.
He's dressed up, it's been done a million times.
Okay, it's been done.
He dressed up as...
I believe I had that orange tuxedo one year. So I was a big hack.
You were.
I think I wore it in here.
Bill Murray in The Life Aquatic. What's his name?
Steve Zissou. That's a terrible costume.
And then
nobody knows who you are.
He dressed up... This one's pretty good. He dressed up as Ben Stiller in... Happy Gilmore, the mean nurse.
I don't remember.
It's retirement home.
He's the biggest nerd in
your back's going to hurt, too, because you just pulled landscaping.
I mean, I've seen that movie once.
Okay, can I make a Tiger King? Maybe he's going to dress up as Tiger King.
That's one of his heroes?
That's a 2020 costume.
Joe Exotic?
Yeah, but, I mean, he's growing the hair out. I don't know. I mean, are any of those costumes that he's doing timely? They're all old callbacks. I don't know. That guy's a loser.
I mean, Bill Murray as Steve Zissou is the worst Halloween costume of all time.
He could do movie reviews on our show. The guy's big into movies.
The costume that made me slap my knee, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, a kid came to my door with a big, oversized Kim Jong-un head strapped to his head. And I opened the door and I slapped my knee 100 times and gave him 20 pieces of candy.
I think that was kind of popular.
He's a guy, he's a brutal dictator. But seeing him at my front door made me chuckle.
Is he going to give out candy at his house? Because I just looked at their schedule. He's off on Halloween.
Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, he plays on Thursday night that week.
Well, he clearly loves Halloween.
So he's going to give candy out.
I would guess he probably
get silly
will.
Candy. You know you're getting full size.
Oh, full size Snickers.
Full size. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little fantasy football.
Yes. Get your week three lineup questions ready because Dave Richard from CBSSports.com has all of your answers next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.